Staying Alive here this afternoon, and we've got another political interview for you. That's right, this afternoon we have the one and only Billy Garrett in the building. How you doing today, Billy Garrett?
Fantastic, Ann. I hope you're great.
I am doing good.
And
you are running for the office of a Senate.
That's true.
And what made you decide to run for office, Billy Garrett?
You know, Ann, there's so many things that I want to be able to offer to the people of the Senate District 10. I've spent 40 years practicing law and learning the law, understanding the law, the nuances of law, and I just feel like I can really help. Columbia needs help, and we need to drain the swamp. We need to have transparency in government. There's a lot of things that I feel like I can do down there to help us. Knowing the law, as I do, I understand what laws need to be changed, which ones need to be modified, which ones need to be done away with altogether. We got to cut red tape, and there's just a host of things that we've got to do to be able to, as far as I'm concerned, the Lakelands need to be the number one region in South Carolina again, and I'm going to see that that's done.
That sounds good, but, you know, I think, you know, I've known you for years, and I think the folks might be interested to know a little bit about your background. How did you end up going to law school, and what did you do? Where did you grow up?
Well, actually, I was born in Anderson County in Williamston. We lived in a four-room house. My parents were rather poor. My dad ran a service station. I worked in a service station, and Mom worked in a cotton mill. And at the age of 12, my father got a promotion. He was working at Liberty Life Insurance Company selling life insurance. And we got to move to Greenwood. We got to move to South Greenwood into the Augusta Fields area. And we grew up there. I started working in the grocery stores very, very early. Prior to coming to Greenwood, I actually shined shoes in a barbershop. So I got to see people and listen to people and hear them talk about politics. And I was always fascinated by it. So we were always able to talk about politics from a very, very young age. And so then when we got to Greenwood, I started working at Guy Butler's Red and White. Of course, Guy Butler was a politician. And shortly after the Guy Butler's went out of business, I went to work with Piggly Wiggly. My intention was to be a grocery store manager owner, similar to Marion Cornell and the other Piggly Wiggly managers of the time, and actually went through.
That is so far from where you are today, Billy Garrett.
Well, I know, but you know, you asked me how I got here.
You're right,
And so I went ahead and went to Lander, and I studied history. I got a degree in history and a minor in political science. Again, I've always been interested in politics. You know, I've never been in
position. But you were still going to be in the grocery business, weren't you, when you went to college?
Yeah, my intention was, actually, they paid for my first year of college. Piggly Wiggly did. They won't put me through management training school, but they wanted me to be a corporate lawyer. And after I got in law school, I decided I just couldn't be a corporate lawyer. I'm a man of the people. I've got to be a people lawyer. And so I just decided I didn't want to do that. If anything, I wanted to own the store and run the store and be a people person. I did not want to be a corporate lawyer, and that's what they wanted me to be. And
so who decided you should be a corporate lawyer, though? This is very interesting that they would pick that out for a career for you, Billy.
It was Piggly Wiggly. I did extremely well at Lander with my grades and that kind of thing. And so I decided to go ahead and take the LSAT test and see how I did on that, and I did extremely well on that. So, you know, the people, the powers that be, had sent me to management training school, actually in Columbia and in Charleston. And so we would go to those classes, and I would debate those guys, you know. I mean, that was part of the way, you know, if they were making a statement that didn't work, you know, for the people,
right,
you know, in our grocery store, in our small grocery stores here in Greenwood, I would tell them, you know, hey, you know, we sell Fatback and people like it. You know, and you people in Columbia may not sell Fatback, but I'm telling you, in Greenwood, it sells like hotcakes. So, you know, you folks need to, you know, you need to, in every location needs to be fit to that circumstance. And we need to be able to sell the products that the people in the local circumstances want. And, you know, they were more of the corporate idea. They were trying to move everything into one box.
To
mainstream everything. And again, it was profit margins and that kind of thing. But, you know, if you lose the small town quality of your store. And, you know, when I worked for Guy Butler, he had, you know, the floors were sawdust, you know, back in the day. And this is before Ann, you and Jeff came to town. But back in the day, we actually had a sawdust produce store. And
wow,
he turned that into the Red and White store. Of course, when that went out of business, then I went up to the Piggly Wiggly and I started working there and worked there 12 years. And then finally, I went to law school and decided not to do that anymore. Decided to come home and practice law. I had opportunities to go other places, but I wanted to come back home because I just love Greenwood. I love the people. I'd been through Lander College, 4 years there. So I come back home because I wanted to be home and I wanted to help the people. And at this point, I've already represented over 8,000 families in Greenwood since.
Your legal career, and
that's just wonderful. Those people, I'm out there and I'm helping them, and I get calls today from somebody that I saw 20 years ago, who needs some help, and it's just always a blessing for me to be able to be able to help them. And my intention is to still continue to be a lawyer, as well as be a representative in the Senate, and I'm able to do that. I'm lucky. I've got my own law firm, and I've had my own law firm. I've got a mediation center where I'm trying to start mediation, which is a separate process that takes away cases from jury trials and helps the lawyers, the young lawyers who haven't necessarily tried cases, try to help them see the good parts of their cases, the bad parts of their cases, and how we can.
And I'll bet it saves people money.
Well, it does. I mean, one of my efforts at tort reform, frankly, is that if we can help people settle their disputes without having to pay a jury and all the cost involved, and come to an agreement between them and their lawyers, or just them. They don't even have to have a lawyer to come in and do a mediation. We can sit down with their dispute, and I can kind of lay it out for them and say, this is what I think about this. This is what I think about this. And again, I'm not the judge. I'm telling you, with my experience in 40 years, it's more likely than not that this is going to be the outcome for you, and this is going to be the outcome for you. Now, if y'all want to settle it, fine. I'll help you draw an agreement that settles it. If you don't, that's fine. Then y'all hire your lawyers and fight, and then they're going to come back to me, and I'm going to tell them the same thing I just told you, but you're going to spend the money for that.
And, well, in today's economy, that's a very positive thing.
Well, we've got to get South Carolina back to work right now. You know, with this COVID thing,
this has been a big issue for you, COVID-19. Personally, it seems to be a big issue.
It is, and we've got the website. Wanted you to mention the webpage,
covidsc.com.
Right.
Right. That's a new website. Just put that up.
Yeah, we just put that up, and it's a real helpful tool. And I tell your listeners, it's an excellent website to help you find out what the current status of things are.
As well as resources. I think even more important, the resources.
The resources are excellent, unemployment resources and that kind of thing. We've got to get people back to work, but we need to get them back to work safely. I don't want even one person to die unless it's necessary. And now we've got all these folks over at Wesley Commons who are sick. Magnolia Manor.
Yes,
Manor.
There you go.
I'm sorry. But that's just awful. I mean, we
40 new cases.
We should have known that, and we should have. Our government should have helped us prevent that. Listen, the common defense responsibility of the government is their first responsibility.
Safety. So they have safety.
They have to provide us with the tools, whether it's testing or whether it's masks. They need to provide us that. I got a call from Judge Hocker the other day, who wanted to go ahead and start opening criminal court. And so we had a conversation about it. I said, well, what about the mask? He said, what about them? I said, well, you guys are going to get masks for these folks and some gloves? We really haven't talked about it that much. And I said, well, you need to talk about it. So offered them to try to help the counties get some masks if need be. And so we got a letter today from the Supreme Court Justice says we're not going to open up until August. So I think they finally looked at the ramifications of putting all those folks together in jury trials. And although it's extremely important that we get back to jury trying cases, we're entitled under our Constitution to a speedy trial.
It's not like health care, though. It's not like the health care issue where we have put off health care for so many. For the what they considered non-necessary, people with heart issues, operations, this type of thing. We need to get the hospitals and everything back open so that these cancer diagnoses, there's a whole list of things there.
There's no question about it. And all of that, we got to get our hospitals back, and we can't furlough doctors right now with all this going on. This is unbelievable. And all these people are dying as a result of their being scared to go into the hospital to get treatment. So we've got to get people back to the hospitals, but we need to do it smartly, and we need to follow the CDC, and we need to follow our president. Our president of the United States knows what he's talking about. He's trying to get these things done. and the state of South Carolina with Henry McMaster, he's trying to get things done. So we need to listen to our leaders and try to get everything done that they ask us to do. But when they fail to do it, we need to have the voice of the people. The people need to be able to speak. Our legislature is closed down.
It has been. And, you know, I think that's been a very interesting point. Here we have had Governor McMaster making the plans and putting things forth, but he hasn't had much input from the House or the Senate.
Well, I mean, they passed the continuing resolution, which basically gives all the power back to the governor to keep 15 days. Every 15 days, he can pass another one, and that's what he's doing.
Well, the other thing is, though, we're supposed to have a balanced budget, and we're not going to have a balanced budget till September or something like that. I mean, we've always had a balanced budget here in South Carolina. Not the federal government, Billy.
Right,
I'm talking about the state government.
Well, we're going to continue that in the state government. There's no way we're not going to do that. And let me just say this, regardless of what happens to our economy, but we got to get us back to work. Over 500,000 people in South Carolina are unemployed right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to take whatever steps we have to take to get those people back to work. And again, one in five of every South Carolinian is out of work right now, drawing unemployment. So
I think one of the interesting issues, though, Billy, is the fact that the federal government is paying them $600 plus their unemployment. It's getting hard to get people to go back to work.
That's true, but it's going to cut off suddenly.
In July,
it's going to cut off suddenly. So hopefully the more prudent people will understand that this is a short-term fix, and hopefully the people that are receiving these monies will use them correctly.
Yeah.
And we can go ahead, and I really believe that President Trump is doing everything he can to have a straight line curve to where we get this thing back to work, get our kids back to school, get us to work, and then hopefully we can isolate. Again, if we had testing and we had
Well, the testing
masks,
has been very slow on the uptake.
And we've got it. Listen, South Carolina doesn't need to rely on the federal government for anything. I'm tired of South Carolina having to wait on the federal government for anything. South Carolina needs to be number one in everything. South Carolina needs to have its own stockpile of respirators. It needs its own stockpile of masks. It needs its own stockpiles of
testing. Well, I think one of the beauties of South Carolina is the fact that it is a small state, so it can move much quicker than a large state like New York State. I mean, we are small. We are capable of charting our destiny, as what you're saying, as we could be number one in a lot of things because we are smaller.
I expect us to be number one. I'm not happy with being 38th in education or whatever. We're gonna fix that. Okay,
we're fix that. Well, you know, should you get the office of senator for the number 10, what would be one of the first things that you would want to introduce down there in Columbia?
Well, that assumes a lot. That assumes that I defeat the Democrat socialist who has, is holding the position right now, who's been in the minority party for more than a decade and brought very little to Greenwood and to Senate 10. So let me just say that's number one. So just getting down there, there's so many things. I have a vision for the Lakelands.
Okay, explain that vision to us.
The vision for the Lakelands is this. Just like the coast in Myrtle Beach has got the beach, and everybody loves the beach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finding as people get older, they don't really want to go to the beach as much or to the mountains. Sometimes they want to go to the mountains. Sometimes they want to go to the beach. We're right in the middle. We're in what we call the Lakelands, so we're in the perfect medium spot. So we can develop these Lakelands, but we need roads, infrastructure, and we need telecommunication, and we need broadband internet. Listen, it's ridiculous that our kids in school don't have any internet. They have to come back to town or get some bus to come out to be a hotspot. It's ridiculous, and it's 2020. Why don't we have, 5G, 4G, 3G? Why don't we go ahead right now and put the money in to let's make sure that we can do telemedicine, we can do...
Having had one experience with telemedicine, I'm not too excited about it, truthfully.
Well,
I want to sit there and see that doctor. I don't want him to go, here, take the phone and put it over his head and let me see how his head's looking. No, I don't like that very much, Billy, tell you the truth.
And I appreciate that, but let me say this. If the decision was, I got to go into a COVID circumstance, and
right.
I'm over 60 years old, and I've got pre-existing conditions.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Or I can do some telemedicine short term.
Right.
I think I'll take
it. Well, and that's what we did because
think,
of Jeff.
Okay.
But yes,
well,
absolutely.
I mean, Jeff's circumstance, obviously, you could not do that.
Right. Exactly.
So, again, I'm not really happy about it either, but You know, hard times bring about hard challenges for us, and we've got to be able to meet them. What about the kids? Tell a school. I mean,
yeah, I agree.
We can't just not teach them. Obviously, we got to do something. So our infrastructure needs to be 100%. Look, the Lakelands need to have interstate connections. We haven't had an interstate connector, not even put on the board. And for over a decade.
Well, even longer than that. I think that what I'm hearing is that with what's happened with the economy and everything, we may not be having any other projects other than what is already on the board because of the depth of lack of dollars coming in.
That's for naysayers. Let me tell you what. When Trump gets this economy.
That's my job.
That's fine, man. That's fine. When Trump gets this economy back humming like it was humming, and we bring all those jobs back from China, and we bring them right here to Greenwood, and we fill up every one of these factories that are here with these Chinese goods and Chinese manufacturing, and they're American-made, and we put them all back to work, and we're at 100% economic efficiency.
And how soon will that happen, Billy?
5 to 10 years if it's done correctly. You know, Ross Perot had the great idea. He said, y'all going to hear a giant sucking sound is what Ross Perot said, and he was correct with NAFTA. And again, that's part of the Democrat Socialist program. You know, they took all of our jobs. So, you know, now we're seeing what's happening. South Carolina needs to be absolutely number one. South Carolina needs to have its own medical. South Carolina needs to have its own manufacturing. We don't need to be dependent upon anybody else unless it's absolutely positively necessary. I want us to get there. I believe there are like-minded people with me who will agree that South Carolina needs to be number one. Senate 10 can lead the way, and we can be number one because nothing's been done. So our percentage of increase in the last, you know, for the last decade or better, when nothing's getting done, can be tremendous. Let me say one other thing is interesting. I have been complaining since I began this campaign. I would go through Troy, and I had no internet and absolutely no phone connection. And I've been complaining about it, and I mean complaining about it. And guess what happened last month?
What happened, Billy?
They put us a big old tower right there in Troy. So, you know, my complaining might have helped, you know, spur that on. So I'm already being effective as a potential Senate candidate, and I'm going to make things happen like this all the time. It's going to be what happens as President Trump says we're going to be winning again.
You know, Billy, but I mean, you have another business. How are you going to be able to handle that and be in the Senate? I mean, it sounds like you want to turn up the heat, but you've already got a job, don't you?
Yes, they'll let me be a spear. The South Carolina Republican Party wants a spear. I'm for term limits. I'm not interested in chairmanships down there. I'm interested in issues.
But you have a job, but are you still going to be lawyering?
Yes, yes. I can work 2 days a week. You know, a lawyer is, you know, our time is, I'm working everywhere. Anytime I'm anywhere, I'm working on a case. So, Ann, for me, whether I'm in Columbia working or whether I'm here working, you know, with my clientele, I take care of them. I've got also other lawyers that I've trained over the years, numerous lawyers that I refer cases to, and I oversee those cases, but let them do the bottom work, and then when it gets time to try the case in front of a jury, then I step in and I try the case. But 90% of the time, now that I'm a mediator, 99% of the time, those cases settle. I don't have to try cases because they know that we're going to be prepared and we're going to do an extremely good job. As I will be in the Senate, I will do an extremely good job. I will be prepared. I will beat them. This October, I'll be licensed to practice before the United States Supreme Court.
Excuse me? What'd you say?
I said I will be licensed to practice before the United States Supreme Court.
That's huge.
In October. And I will go down, if they will let me, and I will help argue this fetal heartbeat bill. I will help those lawyers argue that case before the United States Supreme Court. At least I will have the credibility and the license to be able to do that if they want somebody who will get up and advocate for that position.
Does our AG have that possibility of? Can he argue in front of the Supreme Court?
Yes, I'm sure he's licensed. If he's not, he'll have other people there who are licensed who will do the argument for him.
Right.
But you know, I want to have the ability, and that's one thing I can bring to the Senate that nobody else in this election can bring to the Senate. I can make these arguments myself, and I understand the law, where the 14th Amendment basically says. Where the 14th Amendment basically says, you know, states can't do certain things because the federal government says they can't. Okay. And I'm not in favor of these local our own South Carolina Supreme Court recently is creating judicial activism. I mean, here recently they did away with the common law marriage doctrine. Instead of letting the legislature handle that, they did it themselves. I mean, it's just judge made law, and I'm sorry, that's not the way it's supposed to be. So we have this.
Well, isn't that one of the parts of the government? You know, we have the courts, we have the judicial.
Well,
I mean, you know,
that's my,
we have that.
Yeah. That's my whole point. They should have let the legislature, if they felt like
the legislature is supposed to
make law. Yes,
yeah.
And
yes.
Make law.
Yes.
Right. Not the Supreme Court, which had been the law of the state of South Carolina all the way back since the common law. You know, the right of common law marriage. So that they did away with that. And it's okay. But again, we can't allow that to happen. We need senators up there who understand this, who can call the courts. You know, we're check and balance on the court. So, you know, we need to be able to do the checks and balances on the court. You know, the other thing about legislation, and I've been thinking about this, you know, the governor made a tremendous mistake, in my opinion, and of course I support our governor. I don't miss any misunderstanding about that. But, you know, when he closed our churches, because there were more than three, and he opened the liquor stores and the tattoo parlors, I got a real problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that our legislature, instead of abdicating that power and not making those arguments, or at least being heard on those subjects, you know, just went along with the governor.
Right.
Well, you know, Senator Floyd Nicholson didn't even show up for one of those votes. You know, they were boycotting. The Socialist Democrats were boycotting, okay, and on April the 8th, he didn't show up. Now, I don't know why. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's why he didn't show up, because of the boycott or not, but he didn't show up. So out of those two important votes that we finally got somebody there to do something, he only showed up for one of them. And they passed a continuing resolution, which basically gave all the power back to the governor. So the legislature needs to step up, and it needs to debate these issues. I do not want to close our churches and open liquor stores and tattoo parlors. I'm sorry. That's just not our. That's not what the Senate 10 people want.
Are you sure? That's a joke.
I'm positive, Miss Ann.
Yeah,
I'm positive.
Yes. So if you are, so what to you are the biggest things that the Senate needs to be able to do?
There's a host of things. We've got this opioid crisis, and there's a pile of opioid money coming in that needs to be dealt with correctly.
What do you mean, pile of opioid money? You mean the drug dealers are paying taxes?
No, you know better than that, Ms. Ann. What I'm talking about, there were lawsuits that were brought against these opioid providers who finally acknowledged and admitted that they've destroyed America. And as a result of that, you know, a lot of that money's here or is coming to our state, and it needs to be dealt with accordingly. We need mental health addiction specialists. Mental health addiction specialist facilities, and there's just a host of those kinds of things that we've got to do to be able to help with this opioid crisis. People have forgotten because of COVID that we still have that problem out there that we got to deal with. One of the biggest problems we've got with crime, again, is addiction and the break-ins and the stealing in order to support these drug habits.
It's also just the amount of drug money that is being on the black market here.
I understand. And so we've got it.
You have experience with that.
I do.
Yes.
I do.
And yeah. Your son.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a tragedy. You know. I'm married. Miss D and I have been married for 44 years. You know, we had two children with Billy and Tara, and my daughter. She's married to Kevin Mitchell, a wonderful fellow, and he's a former city police officer. Then he went into the DNR. He was actually part of the dive team. And then he went into the federal system, into Border Patrol. He worked a 2-year stint there in Border Patrol.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and now he's a federal agent. He's a special agent with the federal in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So that's what he does now. And so I've got two grandboys. You know, I've got Tristan, he's 8, and I got Jackson, he's 3. And both of these grandboys, you know, I want them to have a decent future. I don't want them to get caught up into this drug thing that's just decimating our communities. You know, I lost my son to it. My son Billy died in June of 16, and tragically as a result of complications from drug use and that kind of thing. So we have to, you know, it can happen to anybody's family, not just mine, but it's everybody's family this is happening to, and we need to take all the steps that we can to try to help those families, everybody's families. This is
that
a scourge.
Comes back to safety.
Yeah. Again, it's a scourge. And again, crime, you know, we have to take steps to help our solicitor, to help our law enforcement, our county officers, the men in blue, to help them. We need neighborhood watches again, Ann. You know, we talked about that earlier. You and I had an opportunity to discuss that. We need neighborhood watches again, and the people don't need to be scared to call in. If you see something, call it in. And again, we may need to have something other than 911. We may need to have something that everybody knows is anonymous, and it can't be, because everybody's scared. I mean, these gangs are horrible. And we've got killings going left and right.
Had a couple.
Well, you know, and that can happen to us.
You know, down in Myrtle Beach, and here it is from Greenwood, South Carolina.
Well, it's game related. And if we intend to bring jobs and get our businesses back here in Greenwood and bring in industry, we've got to do two things. One is we've got to get our education where it needs to be. We've got to help our teachers. You know, we need smaller class sizes. We need better teacher pay, at least equal to what the states are around us. And, you know, we need discipline in school. You cannot run a school without discipline. And then when they took the discipline out, I mean, it destroyed us. You know, Greenwood has got one of the highest juvenile rates in the state per capita. You know, Adam McCoe, a young lawyer that we helped train, came through, and he is the prosecutor. And I talk to him often about it, and it's horrible. You know, we've got to teach responsibility and values to our children. And it's got to happen at church, and it's got to happen at school, and it's got to happen in the homes. And they need to see us as a team, us with law enforcement, working together to fight this scourge and to run those people out.
You are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. We're going to continue this for just a couple of minutes here. Billy, but then it always revolves around money. And money is the issue, and I think, thank goodness that we have the windfall that we had down there at the state level. But we're going to be hurt because people weren't working, people weren't going out buying things, people weren't running their cars. I mean, we're going to be hurt in the state government and on the local level. What's the answer there? You talk about paying teachers more. How are we going to do that?
Well, here's the way you do it, okay? What President Trump proved to us is that our economy is the greatest in the world. We can be energy efficient. We can run our own country, and we can take care of business. And when there's volume of business, that volume of business solves almost everything because there's plenty of money. There's so much tax in South Carolina that we had the excess. Now, instead of giving us this excess back, you got folks like, you know, Mr. Nicholson, who wants to take that money and he wants to tax it. Okay, I'm sorry. That's our money. It needs to be returned back to the people. If anything, let's lower our taxes. Mm-hmm. You know,
I think that's an excellent issue right there. They keep talking about redoing our tax forms, and they have never even gotten to that because it's always an election year, and nobody wants to tackle it during an election year.
And I'm not going to worry about it. I've told you. You know, I'm for term limits. I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to fight. Listen, I'm not taking any money from any of these people outside of this district. I'm only taking money from people in this district. Those are the only people that I'm responsible to. You know, and I can win. I can beat Floyd Nicholson. I can beat him in this election. You know, Mr. Hope said he only lost by, I don't know what he said, 900 and something votes. But, you know, I sat down and I studied that. And I don't know if you have, Ann, but we need to look at that. I think we need to look at the context of that. You know, Mr. Hope didn't come close. In fact, he lost by he lost big in that election. And you say, well, explain.
He lost by 961 votes.
Well, listen to me, though. In Senate 10, President Trump beat Hillary Clinton by 6,331 votes. He beat her by 17%. In politics, where I come from, that is a thrashing. 17%.
Okay.
Mr. Hope lost against Floyd Nicholson by 3% in the same Senate 10. Now, if every person that had voted for Trump had also voted for Mr. Hope, he would have won by 17% or 633 votes like President Trump. Instead, more than 5,000 voters of Senate 10 rejected Mr. Hope and voted for Floyd Nicholson, an avowed liberal socialist Democrat that recently supported Kamala Harris to be our president. We can't allow that to happen again. Conservative Republicans cannot allow that to happen again. We have to beat Floyd Nicholson, and we can't do that by losing. When President Trump won, Mr. Hope lost. So the percentages are higher. So, again, those are just some things that we need to be looking at this election for June 9th. I need for the folks to vote for me in June 9th and give me a shot at it. He's already had a shot at it. I'd like to have an opportunity to run and to work for the people. And I think I've proven that I'm a person who gets things done. I don't play. I'm busy. I'm very serious. And you've known me for a lot of years. I've done business with you and you and you and your family, and you know that's I can make things happen down, and I can make this budget work. If we can get this economy booming again, it'll take care of itself. All of these things will take care of themselves. There'll be enough money for us to do what we need to do.
So the economy, it's the economy, stupid.
Well, it always is the economy, stupid. You know? It is.
Right.
You know, it's one of the most important things that we have to have everybody. We got to get jobs. We got to get the jobs back. And we got to get people back to work safely. They need to be comfortable. And I don't want to wait. I'm like Trump. I don't want to wait, you know, until next year, until they finally find something that's going to cure this thing. We got to get out here now. We got to get it back. We got to isolate those people. For instance, anybody 60, 65 years or older, they need to be isolated in the sense that they're protected. And we need to protect those people, and especially African-Americans. I mean, look, the statistics are real clear that African-Americans have a higher incidence of death as a result of this. So we need to help and make sure those people are protected. And the rest of us need to help them get the tools and the food and everything else they need so they can be isolated until we get the vaccine. And hopefully once the vaccine's here, then we can all get back to 100%. But look, if you think that this is the last time we're going to have one of these terrorist attacks or one of these bio problems, you know, I can tell you now that China has seen how crippling it is to America, we're going to see more of this. So I'm telling you, we need to be prepared next time.
Well, do you think that President Trump should have closed down the economy?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
I mean, I could see maybe 2 weeks, you know, getting a feel for what's going on, but to have kept us closed down for as long as it was, I think that was a mistake on his part.
And to be honest with you, I think it should have been a state-by-state decision. New York, for instance, probably needed to close because of their close proximity and their inability to be spread out like we are here in South Carolina. But places like Montana, South Dakota, I mean, there's a host of places that you know, the meatpacking industry, for instance, over in South Dakota. I mean, you know, there was a host of places that we could have kept open and we could have isolated. You know, but again, we were caught short. We were caught short of ventilators, and we were caught short of testing, and we were caught short of masks and personal protection gear. We should never, ever let that happen again. And the other thing, we should never let China ever again hold all our pharmaceuticals. That's got to end today. South Carolina, if we need to lead. We've got the best genetic center. We got Lander College here. We got Piedmont Technical Schools right here. We can take all those businesses, and we can take people and train them and put those people to work. Yesterday, we got to do it. And get this economy humming again. And listen, the more officers we've got out there on the streets, the more money we've got to spend to be able to protect our citizens, we're going to be in a position that we're going to tighten up and help these people. We've got to help our citizens. They're scared. The crime rate is too high. These gangs have got to go. Listen, we got to get rid of these gangs and do whatever we've got to do. And the Senate's got to help our solicitors and our law enforcement officers do what they need to do and give them the tools they need.
I think that all of those things are good things, but Billy, I think the safety and the empathy are part of the things that our community needs, and we need to find a way to get representation that does this.
Well, and you know me, I've represented the people. I've represented people in horrible, horrible circumstances legally, and I've always tried to find a solution. And that's what I'm solution oriented. And if y'all will send me down to Columbia, I promise you this, I'll work as hard as I can. I'll do everything I can within my power. I will always be here. You call me on the telephone. You know, you've never called me and I haven't called you back.
That's true.
And
that's
anybody true. That knows me knows that I return phone calls at least within 24 hours. And the only reason I'm not calling you back is I'm either in court or I'm asleep or, you know. But I return phone calls.
And you're willing to give out your cell phone right here on the
That's
on
right.
Air.
It's 864-554-0963. You call at any time, and we will get back with you. I'll get back with you as soon as I possibly can. And that's that's where I stand.
That sounds all good, Billy. I'm going to give you 1 minute to sum up the summation of your argument here today.
I am a God-fearing conservative. You know, I'm pro-God. I'm pro-life. I'm pro-Second Amendment. We got to protect our guns. If we got a government that gets tyrannical, we've got to be able to let her know that we can protect ourselves against that. And I'm pro-Trump. And so those are my calling cards. And, you know, the founding fathers said, "In God we trust." And so that's the first point of my political. I ask for guidance every day, and I'll do that every day. I will ask for guidance as to how I am to perform, and I will seek that guidance. And I will do everything in my power to be a good representative. I'll meet with you guys in 4 years after I win this thing, after I beat Floyd Nicholson, and we'll talk about whether or not you approve of my work or not. I believe you'll approve of my work, and I believe you'll help me get 4 more years. And I believe in 8 years I can pretty well get most of this done, especially if we can keep Trump in for 4 more, and we can get a good, strong conservative behind him, maybe Nikki Haley or somebody like that after him. You know, that's my goal.
All right, you have been listening to Billy Garrett, candidate for Senate 10, right here on WCRS. Billy, thanks so much for coming out today.
Thank you, Miss Ann.
All right, this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. We got another interview tomorrow, so tune in tomorrow, 5:30. I'll be here. How about you? Bye-bye, everybody.